It's this Thursday edition of the Bet the Board podcast, and both Payne Insider and myself are refreshed after we took a little bit of a bye week ourselves, missing Monday, so all those loyal listeners, we apologize, but sometimes life gets in the way of a good gambling podcast. You'll hear from Payne in just a matter of seconds. I want to thank everybody yet again for submitting questions using the hashtag AskBetTheBoard. We will get to those later on, along with a Thursday night preview of Buffalo and Miami, but Payne, are you ready to break down a little Week 11 NFL action on this fine podcast?
Absolutely. This is when it starts to get a little tougher, numbers start to get tighter, and information becomes, I think, a little more key to what we're doing here.
One other factor that will play a big role in this weekend's games as well, make sure you check those weather forecasts, that Arctic blast coming all across the country. Payne, I think you'll be safe down there in Miami, so we won't worry about you trying to go into a deep freeze. But a game that it may impact, the Cleveland Browns playing host to the Houston Texans. We've seen this number open at 3, tick out to 3 minus 20. Some money on the under from 42.5 down to 41. Potential snow in the forecast for the mistake by the lake.
Yeah, a lot of familiarity here with some coaches and quarterbacks. Weather definitely needs to be factored into this game. Houston off the bye week, it looks like they're going to get Arian Foster back, so that's huge. Ground game will be key here. Cleveland hasn't really been able to run it efficiently all season, although they do like to run it a lot. So for me here, I think the play is Houston at 3.5. I think the under's worth a look too. Now at 41, not as strong, but I like the dog here in this spot, especially with the hook.
Yeah, hard to argue that potential case. We joke about Arian Foster, as we did before this podcast. Apparently he was upgraded to probable or questionable, whatever you want to call it, with a groin injury. Personally, never really thought he would miss this game. Now, he may take a carry or two and defer to Alfred Blue, but have to imagine he's going to be at least somewhere close to 75-85% for this game against the Cleveland Browns.
Yeah, no doubt about it. And I know everyone's been looking for that regression from him, and I think the regressions basically come in the form of durability when he's actually out there. He's had a fantastic season, so Houston will need him here. I like what they're going to do this week off the bye week. Obviously not ideal, potentially heading into cold weather, a dome team, so that could hinder things a little bit, but I still think Houston's the right side. Cleveland last week, and we've talked about him a lot this season, they're just not very good. Now, I know Thursday night was their Super Bowl against a division rival. Unfortunately, they don't know they're not very good, so they've been showing up. But when you look at the resume the last few weeks before their Thursday night blowout of Cincinnati, just not really impressive, being outgained by teams like Tampa at home, the Raiders at home, Jacksonville. So I think Houston's definitely the spot here, and there are some hooks available out there.
Yeah, I mean, then I can resemble the Cleveland Texans because I fight through not being the best every day I get out of bed. So I know all too well what it's like to be a member of the Cleveland Browns. And Payne, I know we talked about before the pod potentially getting into every game, but I'm going to use a veto here and skip over the Vikings-Bears game just because I've had to talk about this Bears disaster at great lengths on Chicago radio, so don't really want to get into it here unless you have some key nuggets to try and shed on the Jay Cutler sinking ship that is the Mark Trestman.
We've seen some professional money, shockingly, on this under, but other than that, that's about it.
All right, good. That's about all I wanted to shed on that game, so I'm more than happy to pass. And more importantly, there's no Jets game this weekend, so we don't have to talk about them, which has me really excited. But one of the bigger games of the day that'll come in the afternoon time slot, Philadelphia and Green Bay. We saw the Packers open as a 4-point favorite, total 56.5. You have seen some money on the under, as this number's ticked down to 54.5, along with some money on the favorite, 5.5 and even 6, we'll call the consensus for this big showdown in the NFC.
You know, a lot of people expect an offensive explosion. Obviously, total opens 56.5. We have seen some resistance. That is a real position there. When you break down these two defenses, much better than what they appear to. Very good in the red zone defensively. And I think what we're going to see here is, now that there's some tape on Sanchez, I think Green Bay will have some success on the defensive side of the ball. They've been trending in the positive direction, their defense, doing a lot of things with Julius Peppers and Matthews, dropping them, sending in blitzes. The secondary is now healthy. Dix is getting better each and every week. I think Green Bay, along with the public being on this side, is the right side here. Sanchez, I think, will regress just a little bit, not fully acclimated to the offense as great as he was on Monday Night Football. We saw some instances where just not totally familiar with the offense yet. We know the one weakness of him is throwing the ball deep down the field. There will be a cross-field wind here, so I think that'll hinder some things also. I think Green Bay is the right side.
Yeah, and we've seen this number, like we said, open at 4, trend out to 6. Do we think this number gets as high as 7? I'll be honest, a little bit surprised that this price did open as low as 4 at some offshore shops, given that the look-ahead line on this game was Packers minus 6, but I guess the recency bias we saw in Philadelphia's dominant performance against Carolina meant odds makers had to adjust down a little bit to compensate for what people had seen last.
You know, it'll be shocking, as good as Philadelphia looked on Monday Night Football, in blowout fashion, if this does get to 7. Obviously, if it does, we'll know how significant this position is from professionals on Green Bay. And as always, there'll be differing views, and there'll be professionals looking to number grab the best of it and potentially take some 7. But I just wouldn't at this spot, now that there's going to be some film on Sanchez in his new offense. So I think it's Green Bay or nothing. And I think there is some correlation, as crazy as it's going to sound, with Green Bay's defense vastly improved towards the under here as well.
Yeah, and I think you make a great point talking about the strength of the position if this number does get to 7. Very similar to what we saw Monday night involving the Eagles. There was absolutely no resistance at the 7 and appetite for the dog. That number did close 7.5. And if you bet Philadelphia, you never had to sweat that game for a second. Arguably one of the more compelling games of the weekend, Seattle goes on the road to Arrowhead to take on the Chiefs, who were pretty fortunate to get through Buffalo last week, and I know we both had Buffalo as an underdog there. They did close a short favorite. Didn't matter as far as being able to cash a ticket. You've seen money come in on Kansas City. They've gone from a pick 'em or 1-point underdog to a 2.5-point favorite. You've also seen a little bit of money on the under, 42.5, largely disappearing in favor of 42. If you were a conscientious shopper, you could have even grabbed 43 earlier in the week for this game.
Yeah, I mean, that's a real position, obviously, on Kansas City. I'm more inclined to look towards the total, and I think, you know, we went under 43 earlier in the week, some weather coming in, and when you look at these two teams, specifically Kansas City, they're a team that trends towards the under. One thing that did keep me off this side, as well as Kansas City has been playing, obviously the market has reached its maximum peak on Kansas City. I believe they've covered, what, 8 in a row now? So not a good buy point to me on Kansas
City.
Feels
like 107 they've covered in a row, if you ask me, sitting on their win total under 8.5, damn it.
So the other thing here is, when we talk about a way to beat Seattle, it's typically taking shots deep down the field, creating some space underneath. And Kansas City is a real dink-and-dunk team, which kind of plays into the hands of Seattle's defense. And when you talk about Seattle, they've kind of reverted back to what they wanted to be when they've gotten rid of all their weapons, and it's a run system with Lynch and Wilson. And so I think it's a real conservative game plan here, and I think the under's a pretty strong position here.
Yeah, and one of the tougher places to go. I don't think people oftentimes make Arrowhead probably one of the elite home field advantages, especially when you have a top-tier opponent in there. You talk about Kansas City, and they've definitely been a surprise, doing it with defense and a relatively conservative offense. For a team who did it with defense last year but hasn't done much of a damn thing so far this year, Carolina opened as a 1.5-point favorite, now a 1-point dog against Atlanta. On the look-ahead line, Carolina was a 3-point favorite. You had to lay $1.20 if you wanted to back the Panthers. Clearly something is wrong with Cam Newton, but he doesn't deserve all the responsibility. That defense has been downright porous for Ron Rivera all season long.
They're a mess. Both of these teams are a mess. What we did see last week was some fight from Atlanta. We've talked about Mike Smith. It looks like he's on his way out, but it looks like, from what I saw last week, there was that effort and willingness to play for him, and that's what you're looking for when you're backing bad teams this late in the year with potential jobs on the line. Are they going to fight? Are they going to go to war for their guy? And it looks like Atlanta is going to do that. Carolina, short week here. Cam was just beaten up on Monday night. Not a game I'm running to bet, and as crazy as it is, with as poor as New Orleans continues to play, this likely is an elimination-type game. The winner still has life. As crazy as it sounds in that South division, not one I'm running to bet right now.
Simply amazing that Atlanta's still very relevant in the division. As you talk about, the Saints have been far from lights out, and you talk about Mike Smith and the fight that Atlanta has shown. That hasn't stopped an offshore book from making Smith the favorite for first coach to be fired, now listed at 2-1. The two guys behind him, Ron Rivera of Carolina at 4-1, and Mark Trestman in Chicago at 4-1 as well. You talk about the Saints and their struggles, call it what you will, a bad call, the right call on the push-off on Jimmy Graham that would have given the Saints a big win at home against the 49ers. They're listed as a full touchdown favorite, this number looking to trend towards 7.5 when they play host to the Red Rifle in the Cincinnati Bengals.
Yeah, significant move here from 5.5 out to 7.5 some places. Obviously, it's a pretty significant move through the 7. I thought all indications were Giovanni Bernard were going to play this week. He was announced out, so that's a significant loss. I don't think anybody's running to bet Cincinnati right now, especially how they looked on national TV at home and what most thought was a must-win game. The Red Rifle looks horrific, so it's just tough. I know we've talked about this Cincinnati team a lot this year, and I know a lot of people looked at you when you were on the Super Contest panel and saying this team wasn't going to be very good. They got out to a fast start, but what we see with all coaching is everything is on film, and this is a team that just does not make adjustments. Their head coach is a dud. They were based, predicated on their two fantastic coordinators, specifically Zimmer last year. And the defense is just really, really disappointing. They cannot stop the run. This is just a bad Cincinnati team. I'll need to do a little more digging here. You'd like to support a team like Cincinnati off a bad showing, but tough loss for New Orleans. Tough place to play here. Not a game I'm overly interested in.
Yeah, people may have looked at me funny for a number of other reasons on the Super Contest panel. We won't talk about the record I've compiled over the last 7 weeks, though. We'll sweep that under the rug after a pretty good start. Tampa and Washington, you look at this game here, the Redskins opened a soft 7 as far as a favorite. You've seen this total sit at 45 at some of the more prominent books, some 45.5 out there. Number trending as well towards 7.5. Are we really in the business of considering laying 7.5 with the Washington Redskins at this point?
The number the math guy sent me would say that is the correct side. They used a number of 10.5 this week when they sent it to me. So I'm not in the business of typically laying Washington at home as a favorite. Has not been a good spot. But Tampa, all signs are pointing to this team officially quitting. Last week, they just didn't really show up. I'm not a huge fan of the change at quarterback. I'm not sure in a season that's lost why you've switched from a guy who was unemployed for 2 seasons at quarterback to potentially your future in Glennon. I think you have to see what Glennon has, and I've actually downgraded the quarterback position, so I'm not running to bet Tampa Bay. Both these defenses, Washington trending upwards in that category. So we've seen the move towards the under. I definitely don't agree with it, but some weather again coming in. Just a game I want no part of, honestly.
I think it's real tough to try and figure out Tampa and where they're at. You look at their performance last week, you figure they would have shown a little better at home against Atlanta. Just don't appear to have the firepower or the playmakers, whether it be at quarterback or running back, although Mike Evans continues to emerge, making a strong case for being Rookie of the Year, given the numbers he's been able to put up in an otherwise pretty pedestrian Tampa offense. You look at the Denver Broncos. They'll go on the road for the third straight game in the unusual role of being a road favorite for the third straight week, a scenario we've only seen, I believe, one other time since 2001. This number out to 9.5. Of course, the Rams making the change at quarterback, apparently after 8 games, the Austin Davis experiment all but done, as they'll go back to journeyman quarterback Sean Hill. Do we make any changes in St. Louis's power number based on the quarterback change, or do we think this is a spot where the Rams can potentially get healthy as a large, large home underdog?
Well, there's going to be an appetite here for the St. Louis Rams. There's no doubt about that. Especially when you're looking at this number at double digits, there's no doubt professional money will come in on the Rams. But the question mark is, what's the drop-off? Hill, he's not very good. He's a dink-and-dunk guy. He's not going to take shots down the field. This Denver pass defense has been fantastic this season. Austin Davis, we know what he is now. You get some film on these guys, and once you have a weakness, it gets exposed every week, and that's what we saw with Austin Davis. The Rams were gutted last week. That was a game that they should have won, up 14-10. You see Carson Palmer go down. You're in the fourth quarter. You have no business losing that game, but they managed to do that. So that was a heartbreaking loss. But now, again, you get Denver, third game on the road in 3 weeks, non-conference opponent. Is this a huge game for them? I'm not really sure. 10 feels like a lot here in this spot.
Yeah, I would tend to agree. I mean, Denver right now, yes, they were dominant against Oakland. You figured they would put together a much better performance given how lethargic they were against New England, of course, a divisional game. now back to a separate time zone, albeit only an hour to St. Louis. But I would agree with you here. I think especially if the public continues to push this number up, by all indications, you're seeing about 85 to 88% of the action on the road favorite. St. Louis makes for a very attractive home underdog. To another team that, you know, there is going to be an appetite on as well as a home dog, the Giants, a 3.5 to 4 point underdog, depending on where you look, playing host to San Francisco. The 49ers, despite getting the win in New Orleans last weekend, still some issues offensively, a real lack of continuity on that side of the ball. And the biggest change here is the New York Giants will get the services of Rashard Jennings back, a weapon that they have desperately lacked in some pretty anemic performances over the last few weeks.
Yeah, you nailed it right on the head there. Giants get Jennings back. The question mark here is, what do they get back on the defensive side of the ball? It looked like they were going to get Cullen Jenkins back at defensive tackle, which would have been huge in this game, but he's had a setback with the calf, so that's a significant loss. The defense is just decimated right now when you look up and down this roster, so it's going to be tough sledding. As crazy as it sounds, I actually like the over in this game, but professionals do have an appetite here for the dog. They took the hook on four. It'll be interesting to see where this line moves from here. It really will be. But not a game that I'm running to bet. But if I had to, gun to head, you're looking at the home dog here. I like the over just a little bit better, though.
Yeah, can we just say that the Giants' defense stinks? I mean, I don't care who's out there, how decimated they are. Can we just throw out there that they're a terrible unit at this point in time?
Yeah, it's been a bad unit, and the injuries certainly don't help. And it looks like they're at every level. When you lose a Cullen Jenkins at defensive tackle, when you lose Beeson at linebacker, when you lose Prince at corner, it's a significant piece from every level of this defense, and they're just having a tough time right now. Especially Perryfield doesn't seem to be doing a great job either at defensive coordinator.
Yeah, I mean, the Giants, like you said, definitely have their hands full. They have been the side that the professionals have looked to back each of the last two times they've been out there, both against Seattle in a game that was 17 up in the fourth quarter before the Giants imploded with Eli throwing his double coverage, and then we saw sharp money coming in the Giants as well in the Monday night affair against the Colts, a game that they were never really all that competitive. From a game in the NFC where two teams may be headed in opposite directions to two teams that are very much in the thick of things, trying to compete not only for playoff supremacy, but maybe even home field advantage throughout. Didn't think we'd say that for either of these teams. Arizona now a 1.5, 2-point favorite, depending on where you look. Playing host to the Detroit Lions, total in this game, we're looking at 41.5. Of course, the big story here, as you mentioned earlier, the injury to Carson Palmer. This is now Drew Stanton's team moving forward. Can he take Arizona to the promised land under Bruce Arians' leadership?
Well, Bruce Arians is the key cog here. That guy's just a wizard, and it seems like he gets max effort, max performance from every player on the field. They continue to kind of play with that rabbit's foot in their cleat every single week. Detroit, a little different team on the road. Arizona is going to be a different team here with Stanton. And what I mean, obviously, you know, it's probably an obvious statement, but I think this game, the contrarian view, I think a lot of people will be looking to play this game under. I actually like it over a little bit. When you look at Stanton, he's got the better arm. They take more shots deep down the field, not as accurate with the dink and dunk stuff, which will cause more completions, clock to stop. So that's what I would be looking towards here, but nothing that I'm running to bet right now. Two teams that we've been kind of looking to fade all season long because we just don't think they're very good, but they just continue to pull out wins, and now they're facing each other. This is just a tough, tough game for me to gauge at this point.
Yeah, I'm going to say that Bruce Arians, the power comes from his post-game press conference choice in headwear. You know, the throwback, retro, I don't know what you want to call it, fedora. I'm not very good with headwear, what he sports. But he's definitely done an outstanding job getting this team to exceed expectations, despite the fact that the defense that was the strength last year, really has been a little bit overrated, as we've talked about. You look at their defensive metrics and how they defend the pass. Not nearly as crisp as what we expected coming into this year.
Yeah, absolutely not. And there's a lot of injuries. A lot of guys they lost in free agency for Arizona. So it was to be expected when you're talking about injuries with losses in free agency. This game I made roughly a pick 'em, maybe Detroit's slight favorite, half a point. So, you know, if you wanted to include Detroit in a teaser through some key numbers, you know, that's probably the way to go. But other than that, I'm not looking to do anything with this game.
Yeah, definitely one of the tougher games to handicap. To one of the more interesting games to watch on Sunday, the Indianapolis Colts been bet up from 2.5 out to a full field goal. The largest total we've seen yet this season in an NFL game, 57.5, we'll call it the consensus, when they play host to New England. What we have in play here is a huge disparity based on the pros and where they're putting down their money and the Joes, who seem to be backing New England hand over fist. Early indications, 8 out of every 10 tickets coming in on this game on the road underdog New England Patriots.
It will be very interesting to see if this 3 can hold come Sunday night. We know the professionals are in Indianapolis. They laid the 2.5, so it's a significant move out to 3, clearly. But it will be interesting when everybody talks all week long in the media, the mass media, how Belichick and Brady are off a bye, and now you can get 3 points with them. So I'm not sure this number can hold. If it does hold, it just tips its hat to how big the position is from the professionals here on Indianapolis. As you alluded to, the highest opener total that we've had all season. It's ticked upwards. I don't know if that's just getting the best of the number with the ability to come back later. And we talked about the market adjusting and when will these primetime overs stop. When you start hanging numbers like 58, it's a good indication that they're going to stop fairly soon.
Yeah, and I would tell people, too, if you're looking to try and back the Colts in this particular spot, depending on where you move your money, you may want to explore a money line opportunity here with so much public money potentially coming in on the dog, betting New England, you know, at plus 130, 135, more so than taking the 3. So there could be a little value if you have the chance to lay $1.50, maybe even $1.40, depending on the caliber of customer your shop will book to. For those folks,
similar to the Super Bowl approach.
No doubt about it, and this game has the potential to be one of the higher volume regular season games we're going to see all season with New England taking on Indy, so it'll definitely bear watching. And Payne, for those folks that are just paying attention, trying to figure out who the hell they've been listening to for the last 20 minutes or so, that's Payne Insider. You can follow him on Twitter at that name, at Payne Insider, and you can see his great work at PayneInsider.com. I'm Todd Furman. Find my work on Twitter at Todd Furman or toddstake.com, amongst a number of other places. And Payne, we'll turn to the social media-driven portion of the show. 3 interesting questions that have come in. We talked about the primetime games. I know you tweeted out some of those key stats. 24-7 to the over Thursday, Sunday night, and Monday night combined. Joey Jepson asks, all the primetime games have been flying over the total. New England, clearly we see it. But do you think the market has to correct itself to try and give the books a little bit more of a shot?
I think any efficient market, whether stock, housing, sports betting, whatever it is, if it's an efficient market, it will correct itself. And we are going to see when your opening totals, as I alluded to, at 58, it's going to correct itself. And just like all sports, it's going to be cyclical. We've seen the move in baseball with totals now trending over in some spots more than ever before. So it's all cyclical, and I think we'll start to see some of those numbers in prime time start to even out. I know they did a few weeks ago where I believe we had that Thursday night and the Monday night go under, and I think when we talk about this game later, the Thursday night game, probably one that probably will help trump the prime time over run.
Yeah, I think it's just a matter of time before we see it. Hopefully folks have been able to capitalize in these opportunities that are out there. We've seen a run right now of 5 straight favorites and 5 straight overs. Obviously, not a good weekend for the books. We'll see if things turn around tonight on Thursday. Another question that came in from at Brooks Betts. Given how the NFL has changed, can sharps still defend the dog or pass philosophy a lot of them seem to have? If so, how?
Well, I think it's different this year. Obviously, there's not been that parity that everybody likes to talk about in the NFL. Clearly, I think there's this thing when we talk about pros and Joes and pros always being on the same side. There was a lot of games that were opposite this week. I know we had an appetite on Thursday Night Football where a lot of professionals were laying it with the Bengals, but we saw some sharp late money on the Browns. We saw a place like Cantor close 5.5. In a game similar where we saw New Orleans and San Francisco, the appetite early from the professionals were laying it with New Orleans. And I can tell you firsthand, one of the larger groups in the world came in 2 hours before kickoff and grabbed 6.5 with San Francisco. So just because pros are, I guess, always most people paint them as being on the same side of every game, that's not always true. And we have seen them lay points in the NFL, so I don't think it's, that archaic for them to be laying points. And I think we see something similar, as we alluded to earlier, with Green Bay laying the points this week. So it's not always going to be the dog, but it is going to be the dog in a lot of spots, specifically when you talk about some of those long-term cover rates. St. Louis is going to be that side when you have a non-conference opponent, 3 games in 3 weeks, and you can get 10 points with the home dog. So, you know, there is going to be an appetite for a lot of bettors that generally look dog in the NFL.
Yeah, I think when you put yourself in a positive expectation, if a scenario is hitting 60% of the time, there's still going to be 4 out of every 10 that aren't going to get you to the window with cash, and people typically get blinded by those set opportunities. And like you talk about, and we discuss all the time about efficiency of markets, how things typically correct themselves. Yes, you can beat a market 3 to 4 weeks, maybe even longer than that before odds makers adjust, but you want to make sure you're one step ahead of the curve, that you're not getting to the window too late on a particular scenario that develops. Which leads us to the Thursday night football game, a key divisional showdown in the AFC East, and we have seen a ton of movement on this game. Miami opened as a 5-point favorite, number climbed as high as 6, got bet down to 4 earlier today, and the market has since stabilized in that 4.5 to 5 range. You've seen the total open 42, get bet up to 42.5, and that was when the under money started to come in and push this number down to 41. Payne, you've had a pretty good track record on the Dolphins, including last week where you thought that the Lions were in a good spot laying 2.5. How do we go about dissecting tonight's game, knowing that the Bills have really had Miami's number in recent meetings?
Yeah, I think there's a lot to talk about in this game, and I think it probably would have been more fun to talk about had some of the setup, so to speak, in the market remained, as opposed to all the true positions coming in early this morning. Huge game, obviously, for both teams. Playoff-like atmosphere. Neither can really afford to lose this game, both vying for wild card spots. And when you talk about this game for Buffalo, it's must win. They've dropped tiebreakers to San Diego and Kansas City. For Miami, it's going to sound stupid because they could really be 7-2 right now if the defense could hold late against Green Bay and Detroit. But this team, this owner, Stephen Ross, basically came out at the beginning of the season and said, we don't need the playoffs. We just need to see improvement. We need 9 wins. And if they don't get to 9, I doubt we see Philbin back. This is really a must-win for Miami also when you look at that schedule: at Denver, at New England with revenge, Baltimore, a team that they're not going to match up well against, and 2 versus your rival Jets where you can just kind of throw out the record. So this is a huge game. We can break this down, I think, a lot, whether we talk about both teams defensively or the spot in the situation. We can start defensively. When you look at both these teams, by most metrics, top 10 in the league, pass, run, defense. Two teams that have fantastic front fours defensively. They don't allow red zone trips, either of them. Bills number 1 in that category. And then when you take a look at the offense for both of these teams, and you talk about a backfield of what we're going to see in Buffalo of Bryce Brown, Anthony Dixon, and Kyle Orton, you know, you just kind of want to shoot yourself in the face when you
well,
talk
that's
about
I, the, that's what I wanted. That's what I wanted to do last Sunday, but it was more a miscue on special teams that really doomed us above all else.
Oh, just brutal. The Bryce Brown fumble at the 5. It was all just a large abortion there. When you look at Miami this week specifically, trouble on the offensive line. You lose Brandon Albert. He's huge. He's not only a leader, but he was one of the top left tackles in all of football. They're going to move Juwan James to left tackle. They'll move Dallas Thomas to right tackle, who couldn't really start at left guard. So it's a big, big adjustment for him. What we do get back this week with Miami is Deion Sims, who's probably the best blocking tight end in all of football. So that's going to limit what you can do, Miami, offensively. Lamar Miller, far from healthy. So it's going to be a lot of Williams, the undrafted kid from Oklahoma, a lot of Michael James, who they moved off the practice squad this week. So just a lot of moving parts here. Neither team dynamic offensively when it comes to big plays. Both not very good in the red zone when it comes to punching it in for touchdowns. So there's just a lot of things to look at here when you break this game down. And we really didn't even get to the situation aspect of it.
Yeah, I mean, I think you talk about the short week, the level of familiarity with each other, and we've discussed at great lengths how both teams were looking to approach it. I'll let you get into that before we close things up. But when you look at the number here, still some 21s available for the first half compared to 41 for the full game. Do you think that makes the most sense? I know we obviously wanted to make a strong case for going under 42.5, but a completely different animal now by the time people are having to have a chance to listen to this podcast.
Yeah, absolutely. I think that's always a good tool to use. We've talked about it. We've used it in baseball where sometimes you can't get your number full game because it's a little burnt. Look towards that first five innings. It's a little slower to adjust. But 42.5 was the position we took. And then we even added under 21 first half. So if you can still get under 21 first half, I still think that's a very, very good way to look.
I would definitely agree there. And you talked about the situational aspect. Did you want to mention the one last thing that you uncovered on the Dolphins about how they were approaching this campaign?
Yeah, I mean, when you look at this game and you talk about really what they're doing this week, they haven't practiced all week, if you can believe that. They've had three walkthroughs. They've been beaten up. It was a short week for them. You're going to get the same thing with Buffalo, an even shorter week when you talk about one day for travel. So that's huge to look at here. And just all the things that we've talked about with their issues on the offensive line, this is kind of the last week you need offensive line issues when you talk about this Buffalo front four. And as I alluded to, you're going to have to keep a tight end all game here, and it's just going to cause a lot of issues, I think, for Miami's offense. I'm not running to bet the side here. We have seen professionals come in on the dog. Some of the math guys continue to like the Dolphins, and I just can't do it, especially when you talk about Ryan Tannehill. Ankle's a little beat up this week. Throwing shoulder's a little beat up this week. So it's going to be really interesting to see how this game plays out, but I think you're looking at a 20-17 type game.
Look at you over there. People tune in listening for gambling advice. You to rub that crystal ball, tell them where the line is going to go, and here we are breaking down X's and O's. The evolution of the Bet the Board podcast. Soon we'll have to get a former player on here to really shed some light on exactly what goes on behind the scenes.
Absolutely. Could be a good thing to do. And we got a few in mind, but it'll be interesting to see. I think this game specifically, when you talk about matchups, when you talk about familiarity, it's huge to look at because Miami's really had a tough time with Buffalo, especially this new school Dolphins team. When you talk about Philbin coming in, they've kind of gone to a finesse team, and right now that Philbin and Tannehill combination just 1-4 against Buffalo the last five.
Definitely food for thought. Should be a very intriguing game on Thursday night. And Payne, as always, great analysis on the Miami Dolphins. For Payne Insider, remember, you can follow him on Twitter, at Payne Insider, or you can see his great work on his website at PayneInsider.com. I'm Todd Furman. For your Thursday edition of the Bet the Board podcast, best of luck this weekend with all of your Week 11 NFL selections. Hopefully we'll see you at the window, and we'll be right back here to do it all again on Monday, along with a preview of the marquee showdown, and I say it facetiously, of the Titans playing host to the Pittsburgh Steelers.